just call me Angel of the Morning. Angel, just touch my cheek before you leave me. Baby, just call me Angel of the Morning. Angel.
I'm Andrew Tonkovich of KPFK's weekly literary arts show, Bibliocracy. Support this program and the station by hitting the online donations button at kpfk.org. Choose the monthly donation option and, like me, become a sustaining member all year round. Thank you.
This is Ralph Nader, and you're listening to Radio Powered by the People, KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara, and across the globe at kpfk.org.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real. Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Hey, hey. Radio.
For the people.
Radio.
Come on.
The Mojo Hour of Power.
Radio.
We fire it.
For the people.
Yeah, it's the Mojo Hour, KPFK 90.7 FM. I'm Jeff Keller on a Friday at 3 o'clock on a beautiful California Los Angeles day. What's going on, Lalo? Are we there? Is Lalo on the line? Yes, sir. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's a beautiful Friday. 3 o'clock. First, I want to say that one of the all-time hip-hop legends is no longer with us, African Bambaataa. He would spread the word when hip-hop first started. It was one of the pioneers, one of the greats. He created Zulu Nation, that was a hot group at the time. So our condolences goes out to African Bambaataa and his family. But hey, this is KPFK 90.7. I'm Jeff Keller's Poetry Hour Power. We're going to have a great, great show today. Of course, we're going to have Patricia coming on and Frank. But we're also going to have Josefina Lopez on, talking about a play that she has on Casa 1010. And we also going to have Meredith, the attorney, immigration attorney. And let me tell you, she drops knowledge, and she always got something going on in the court system, in the legislative branch. And she's always, you know, if you're having any issues with immigration or if you're worried about ICE, she's definitely a person you want to listen to, because her knowledge is vast, and she's working every day with people trying to get them their green cards and trying to help them with ICE. So we got a big show today, and I want to hear some African Bambaataa, and we'll be back with some more Pocho Hour of Power.
Party people, can y'all get funky? Suicide and force, can y'all get funky? The Zulu Nation, can y'all get funky? Yeah, just hit me. Just taste the funk and hit me. Just get on down and hit me.
That's right. A little African Bambaataa, a little Planet Rock on the Pocho Hour of Power. Again, our condolences to his family. But hey, guess what? You know we got to play next, Mr. DJ. We got to play the band.
Guadalupe, Pocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Yes, sir, you're a yeah, Patricia. Welcome to the Pocho Hour Power, girl. How you doing?
Again, wasn't I on like 5 minutes ago, man? So much is going on, and again, we can't predict it because I'm going to start with something kind of crazy and kind of funny, and that is Melania Trump yesterday.
Was that not wild or what?
That was probably one of the weirdest things that I've seen in a long time, and that's saying a lot considering all the weird stuff that's been going on. She came on, had a press conference. Well, actually, it was more like a statement.
Right.
But she told her staff, I want you to program some time on the networks for I'm going to make a statement. And they even asked her, what is it about? And she's like, you'll see. And she turned around, and you know what I'm hearing myself talking?
Yeah, I hear feedback, yeah.
All right, the engineer who's busy watching Artemis, get back on there and fix this. There you go.
There you go. Well, you know, what's crazy is one of the things she said, she wanted Congress to talk to the victims.
Yeah, she threw her husband under the bus, which is really funny because she came on there and said, I was never involved in with the Jeffrey Epstein. I was never a victim. Congress needs to hold hearings with the Epstein victims, which is something that they haven't done. And today, one of the Republican members said, okay, fine. We're gonna have hearings with the Epstein victims finally. So, people are interpreting that as she basically threw the president under the bus because it was him that was and the Trump White House that was blocking any kind of hearings in Congress with the victims. And here and the funny thing too is that it sort of came out of left field. Nobody really was talking about Melania Trump being involved in anything related to Jeffrey Epstein, except showing up with some photos with Trump and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So it sounded like, what is this about? And her former press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, today said, I'm calling BS on this. Because, you know, she did know. So she knew more than she said that she was talking about.
Yeah, the craziness, though, one of the problems is, unless the victims get some type of, some type of legal confirmation that they won't be in trouble for saying this or that, you know, they can be held for defamation of character and be sued all different kind of ways. So what can they really say, right? They can't name names.
Well, I mean, you know, if they're under oath, they can, you know, that gives them a little bit of protection there. They can't, what is going to prevent them from naming names that's already in the files and basically pressuring the Justice Department to send out all the ones that are still out there that the Justice Department has and that they haven't released. So, and they can certainly talk about what has happened,
right,
and the character assassination against them, you know, and people said, well, you know, it happened when you were a teenager and now you're 40 years old. Why are you bringing this up now? You know, that kind of victimization sort of mentality, you know, let's attack the victim and not the perpetrator. But it was really interesting that she decided to come out and say this because Now there's all this speculation. Well, maybe there's another book that's coming out that names her, or maybe there's some photos out there, or maybe she was just mad.
Right, because doesn't this go against his Iranian war distraction?
Well, that's the other thing too.
And she's totally throwing a monkey wrench in that whole distraction effort.
Yeah,
bringing it right back to the front page.
Yeah, because nobody has been talking about the Epstein files for a while. And you know that the strategy behind that is this whole distraction, the weapons of mass distraction being the war with Iran, and then having the vice president travel to Pakistan in the next few days to negotiate some kind of ceasefire, and then come out and say the vice president, well, as long as Iran cooperates, everything will be fine. But, we have to remember that Iran was the victim of an unprovoked attack here. So he's basically telling the Iranian government, well, if you cooperate with our demands, and Iran has already said, guess what? We're not going to do a damn thing until you put a ceasefire on Lebanon, and Israel is not going to go for that. So, this kind of globe-trotting that the vice president is doing, guess who isn't in any of the negotiations? The Secretary of State, who would be the normal person to do this, Marco Rubio, he's not doing any of this. And they have the vice president going over to Hungary 2 or 3 days before the Hungarian elections, where Viktor Orban, an ultra-conservative wacko, there's no other way to describe it, may lose an election. And you have the American vice president going over there and saying, this guy is a wonderful person, and he's a good guy, and he's a great person. At the same time that you have the White House calling up the Vatican ambassador to the U.S., the Nunzio Pontiff, which is the cardinal who basically represents the Vatican in the U.S. and their embassy, calling them up and saying, you need to basically tell the Pope to stop criticizing us and get in line with us. And if not, we're going to, go after you, and forgetting that the Vatican does not just represent more than a billion Catholics around the world. They are also considered a nation state, a country within a country.
Yep.
So that you're basically threatening another country.
You better get behind our anti-peace movement over here.
Because the Pope is from Chicago, right? So but is he actually now a citizen of the Vatican? Because
he's still an American. You don't give up your citizenship just because you're the Pope. He actually canceled a 4th of July visit to the U.S. He's going somewhere else now because he hasn't said this publicly, but unofficially the Vatican has said that the Pope is not going to visit the U.S. while Trump is the president.
Oh, yeah.
And he has gone out of his way, meaning the Pope, Pope Leo, to criticize all of this that's been going on. And I would imagine that the Papal Nuncio, when he got back to the embassy, which is actually right across the street from the vice president's residence here in D.C., mm-hmm. he was probably looking out the window and saying, what the hell was that?
Right, and as far as, the Pope Leo being able to get a decent deep dish pizza in Italy, forget about it.
Well, yeah, but, he probably has some special connections where they can,
they fly him in.
FedEx it to him. But, it's really never a good idea to threaten somebody from Chicago, So even a nice Pope like Pope Leo, he is from Chicago. He is from the South Side. So, you probably is not. It was just one of the dumbest things. And that's saying a lot coming out of this White House. And then you have the government of Spain coming out with a tweet that said, You know, we're not going to cheer a country who sets the world on fire just because they brought a bucket of water to try and put out the flames. Spain now got kicked out of the Gaza military strategy group that the U.S. has had because they didn't like what Spain did. Mm-hmm. And the U.K. Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, said, "I'm really fed up with Trump. I'm fed up with the U.S." And he is in the middle of an election on Sunday for local elections where his party may lose the majority in the UK Parliament. And some of it has to do with the way that they've been handling some domestic issues, but also the U.S. relationship. Now, supposedly King Charles is going to be coming here to the U.S. in April. That trip may be up in the air because of all of this insanity that's going on with the president going all rogue and, you know, talking about, I'm giving you until 8 p.m. for a ceasefire and then extending it 2 weeks.
Right.
And then turning around and saying, well, we don't know. And you know what the result of that is.
Well, they have the acronym. They have the TACO acronym for that, right?
Right.
The taco is Trump always chickens out. Taco.
Right. The issue is, though, Iran is beating Trump at his own media.
Oh,
game.
Yeah. Because
they are kicking his tail. And not only that, they whipping him in the negotiations where they said, OK, we'll open the, you know, the Strait. But then they were charging $2 million a ship.
And not
it's called
that,
a tariff, buddy.
You know what? It used to be free.
It's called a tariff. I'm sure you're familiar with
Trump's
that.
Like, well, what that term?
You need to stop charging.
Trump is like, we're going to split that, right?
And they even said as a joke.
Like,
and
who wants to go halvesies on the tariffs?
They even said as a joke that not a joke, and it has to be in cash or gold or something.
Right.
You know, $2 million.
Well, they're not going to accept Trump's Bitcoin. His cyber money.
I guess not.
Only
not.
Melania coin.
the Melania, and you know what's really funny about all of this is the MAGA influencers.
They're pissed.
Are pissed off. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones are calling out Trump, and Trump today called them losers and a bunch of stupid people. That's what he called them. Those are his words, not my words. And the most polite thing that they said that we could say on the air is that they called him a constant disappointment.
But in all honesty, he did go after the low IQ vote. That was like he targeted them as a base for his election.
Oh yeah, he did. Well, remember he told Oprah Winfrey years and years ago when she asked him, "Would you consider running for office?" He said, "If I ever do, I'm gonna run as a Republican because those are morons."
Exactly. You
know? He said that. He said that. So you know, and all of this
but before that, wasn't he a registered Democrat too?
Oh yeah, yeah. And he contributed a lot of money to Democrats, not just in New York where he's from, but around the country, including to the Clinton campaign back in the day and to all of the mayoral races in New York, because remember, he was a real estate guy. So you had to be in good with the mayor. He gave a lot of money to the Democrats.
Oh, yeah. They say if you're not a Democrat when you're a young pedophile, you have no heart. And if you're not a Republican when you're an old pedophile, you've run out of Viagra.
Well, pretty much. So maybe that's why Melania went on TV and threw him under the bus. Who knows? You know? I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
None of this makes any sense.
I can't wait to see that novella play out. also, with the post about her friend, ex-friend. That was deported by ICE.
On
the request of her husband, who was is one of those guys hanging out with Epstein and Trump, and was a model, you know, not a model citizen, but a guy who owned a modeling agency and yeah. knows all these, you know, grooms all these young women.
Yeah, he brought a lot of them to Mar-a-Lago and then ended up divorcing his wife, who's not from the U.S., and then requested that she get deported. And that's exactly what Trump did.
Back to Brazil. Well, yeah. Patricia Guadalupe, the news has become a novela, and I'm here for it. You know, I'll take it. It's better than the novelas that are out there. So,
yeah, but, because
I'm sorry that we missed each other in D.C., but I'll be back.
Yeah, you better be back soon. And, you know, for anybody who didn't know, Lala was at American University at a sold-out presentation about his cartoons. So.
Yeah, it was a busy week. And
it was so busy that...
So busy the Wi-Fi cut that went down.
It was so busy that he froze. It's the jet lag.
Trump is on to us.
Well, if Trump is listening, I just want to say God bless America, okay? So you don't come out.
I'm going to say welcome to the Trump Tannic.
we're busy moving the deck chairs around before we hit the iceberg.
That's right. But if you've seen that Lego, Iran did the Lego video, he just put all Hegseth's dirty laundry out there. That was crazy.
They also did a cartoon in the narrowest part of the Straits of Hormuz that shows Trump basically stuck in there, and it says, "I can't breathe." Their social media people are outstanding. There's just no other word for it.
Yeah, they're killing it.
They're killing it. They're killing it, especially with that we're gonna bomb you to the Stone Age and civilization. And they came out with a tweet that said, you know, while you were looking for trying to discover fire inside of a cave, we were writing the Cyrillic alphabet. So what are you talking about?
That's crazy. So what we got to look forward to next week, Patricia?
Well, next week, Congress is back. And so if it's true that they're going to have hearings for the victims, the Epstein victims, that's something that's going to be on the agenda. And Iran, obviously, you know, what's going to happen with that? And let's see if Melania decides to say something else, you know?
Yep. Well, hey, Patricia, we got to go. But thank you for being on the Pocho Hour Power again. We love having you on every
Thank
Friday.
You, Patricia. Sorry, my wife, I dropped out because of Melania.
You gotta blame somebody. She's a good one to blame.
Lalo was looking at her short film.
He was looking at the pole dancing. Come on, admit it.
The poor pole.
All right,
pole.
Guys. We'll Bye. Talk.
Thank you. There she goes, Patricia Guadalupe. And now we're joined by our great correspondent in Mexico City, Frank Contreras.
Hey guys.
Back.
Hey man.
What's going on, man?
Hey, listening carefully to Patricia's analysis, look at what's up, Mexico got a hold of that Lego video that you guys are talking about here. It's spread all over Mexico. I know university professors who were using it in their classrooms this week.
Really?
Here in Mexico City, yeah.
That's amazing. So they're like, break down the video and write up an essay about it, right?
Definitely. Getting people to talk about what's happening in the United States. People walk up to me in the middle of the street. They know that I'm a clandestine gringo, right? So they tell me, they always ask me, what's going on in the States, man? And I just tell them, I have no idea. You know, like, really don't know. And people also watch that Melania press conference, that Melania announcement that she gave, whatever that was. So Mexicans keeping a very close eye. I wanted to give you guys an update on Mexico's position on the war in Iran. You guys know, by the way, that the government of President Claudia Sheinbaum, Mexico's first female president, has a lot of clout in Washington, D.C. I mean, a lot of heavyweight clout. Why? Because Mexico is by far now the top commercial trading partner for the United States. And that does not just mean like we thought back in the old days, 20 years ago that Mexico was the maquiladora factory for the United States. Now Mexico has become the top high-tech exporter to the United States. Things like top-end chips, you know, motherboards and things like that that you need for your video consoles and all those things that we like to use, and iPhones and things. So Mexico, when it says that it doesn't like the war in Iran, Washington pauses. And I don't know if they listen, but they are treated differently here in Mexico, the government here, compared to other Latin American left-leaning countries. And you guys know that the Morena Party in Mexico is it calls itself a humanist party. It's been accused of being a socialist party. I think Claudia Sheinbaum is really clear. She studied for her PhD in the United States. She knows about the U.S. politics. If you use that S word, that doesn't work too well in the United States. So you know, she likes to call it Mexican humanism. So what does that mean? Looking at the war in Iran, basically Mexico's stance has been what the president calls active neutrality. What is that? Mexico is constantly and openly in places like the United Nations and Washington at the State Department expressing deep concern and saying, you know, using military might to solve these kinds of issues around the world is not the way forward. And Mexico comes straight out and says that it's just not down for that. And it's really interesting to see that, you know, while the Trump administration continues to threaten Cuba, for example, because of the Cuban Revolution and this sort of thing, the Sheinbaum government is not getting that kind of reaction. You are getting some accusations, as I said, of, you know, that there's socialism taking place here. We'll talk about that in a second, what unfolded for Mexico this week, a couple of pretty big announcements, actually. But I wanted to detail a little bit more Mexico's stance on the war in Iran. Mexico goes back to constitutional principles on this. Basically, Mexico's foreign policy response has always been non-intervention and self-determination of peoples, not just in Latin America, but around the world. And what does that mean? Like, for example, there's a diplomatic spat that could turn into, a violent conflict in Latin America. Mexico takes neutrality, prefers to have non-intervention. And that's the stance that Mexico constantly has taken, really, since the days of the Cuban Revolution and probably even before that. And Mexico, of course, as we've reported here, has been one of the great friends of the Cuban Revolution. President Sheinbaum has stated that the United Nations has stopped fulfilling its mission. She says she's calling for recovery of global democratic politics and multilateral diplomacy to solve these kinds of crises. No, Mexico joined Brazil and Colombia in a joint statement calling for a pause in the fighting, especially as the United States and Israel continue their strikes. You know, whatever they say they're doing, it's on, it's off again, it's on again, it's off again. One of the things that's up in the mix here is, of course, you guys know, in a couple of months, Mexico will be hosting the World Cup. The 2026 World Cup will take place in Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And, you know, there's been questions about whether the Iranian team can be safe if it's traveling. I guess it's going to be traveling to the United States. Mexico's been getting ready for the World Cup and telling people, you know, fans, they're expecting millions of people, by the way, just to come for the World Cup this summer. And basically telling folks, don't worry, we've got the security situation under control. That they've been dealing with that quite heavily, guys. So that's what's taking place. Lalo, I wanted to talk to you also a little bit about these accusations of socialism. Why socialism? Well, this week, President Sheinbaum announced that she's going to create a universal healthcare system for 100.
What?
Can you believe
what?
It?
Oh my God. Mexico has universal health care before the United States?
Mexico will have it in 2027. They're putting all the mechanisms in work right now, starting off with the oldest Mexicans. People who are 80 years and older this week have been getting registered. There's new digital machinery around the country in Mexico, in every major state capital, 32 states here in the and the city, the capital city here in Mexico City. So there are locations where people can sign up and prepare for this. And basically in 2027, she's basically eliminating all the different kinds of bureaucracy that got in the way in past administrations here in Mexico. A lot of bureaucracy. There has been, you know, public health care paid for by the government, but it's really been difficult to get in. And when you finally get into a hospital or a clinic, the waits have been tremendously long. There have been a lot of concerns for many years that, you know, there wasn't enough things like medicines or even, you know, simple things like the bandages you need after surgery in the hospitals in Mexico. So Sheinbaum's government has been putting all that back in order. And she says that they're ready to roll this out.
That's pretty amazing, Frank. Hey, Frank, we're going to come back to you in a second because I have a major health question about a certain person that may benefit from this healthcare. But we're at the bottom of the hour, so let's take a short break. And I don't know if we're having the Speedy Gonzalez sports report, but if we are, let her rip. And we'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power. We're talking to Frank Contreras from Mexico City and Vivo here on the Pocho Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM.
Orale!
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The UCLA Bruins are national champions in women's basketball. Five of the six seniors were invited to the WNBA draft in New York on Monday, April 13th. Lauren Betts, Gianna Neepkins, Kiki Rice, Gabriela Jaquez, and Angela Dugleich are all expected to be selected in the first round. Top-ranked Bruin baseball begins a three-game series at Rutgers today. Each match can be streamed on Big Ten Plus. The Dodgers are in first place in the NL West. Tonight, they begin a six-game homestand with three games each, first against the Rangers and then the Mets. The NBA regular season wraps up on Sunday. The Lakers are currently in fourth place in the Western Conference, but can still move up to third place if they win out and if the Nuggets lose their final two games. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to La Raza Radio.
Oh, yeah, a little African Bambaataa, baby. KPFK 90.7 FM.
Rest in beats.
Yes, sir. Rest in beats. I like that.
Let's not talk about all the charges again.
No, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about his music.
We've been traumatized enough.
That's right. Just his music.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we are talking to our correspondent from Mexico City, Frank Contreras, and he rejoins us real quick. And I wanted to ask, you were talking about the healthcare, universal healthcare that Mexico has planned for 2027. They have been making many increases, but there's also somebody that I jokingly asked Frank earlier, will Dr. Simi be involved in this? And for everybody, you want to explain what Dr. Simi is?
Yeah, I'd love to. Somebody should tell me what he is. Dr. Simi is kind of one of those, what do they call these mascots that you see almost like at sporting events where they're sort of dressed up in this foam rubber giant disguise, right? And he's basically a doctor that stands outside of certain pharmacies located all around Mexico. These are pharmacies that offer, they're basically the non, what do we call these in English? I can't remember.
Generics?
They're generic medicine? Pharmaceuticals, yeah. Generic, very very affordable pharmaceuticals available, not just when you cross into Tijuana and other major border crossings. And a lot of American medical patients do come to Mexico for those reasons, right? We know about
I've heard of this.
Definitely.
There are very inexpensive pharmaceuticals.
You get all kinds of things. Mexico. Some guys come for, you know, Viagra and things, whatever.
We don't know about that, Frank.
We don't know about that. We don't talk about, yeah. And dental care is also something that takes place. So this guy, Dr. Simi, is he going to be part of this? Well, I suspect that, you know, Mexicans are going to get a lot more prescriptions and probably they're going to turn to that pharmacy. So probably, yeah, you know, Dr. Simi will make them.
Yeah, I mean, people should go on online and look for Dr. Simi, Simi. I suspect it's for similar or something, right?
That's right. That's right.
As similar to the pharmaceuticals that you get, but he will be outside dancing. He's like that, you know, that wiggly guy at the gas stations, you know, that waves his arms, whatever they're called. But Dr. Simi's everywhere.
All over Mexico.
And he's a phenomenon. They sell stuffies of him. And
an icon in Mexico. Will Dr. Simi. That's our next investigation here.
I think he got slapped with the malpractice.
Yeah. Speaking to you guys live from the Soviet Republic of Mexico, right? Because we're so socialist down here. We just talked about universal health care coming into effect next year, ahead of the United States, of course. And also this week, President Sheinbaum announced that she's going to be, you know, improving schools, public schools across the United States, while President Donald Trump is attempting to close down the Department of Education and really make it difficult for public school educators, not just in California, but all across the United States. Here in Mexico, President Claudia Sheinbaum announced on Monday that she's going to spend about $20 billion to upgrade grade-level schools and elementary schools and junior high schools all across the country. They're pouring money into education. Their investment will surpass the total allocated during the Fox, Calderon, and Peña Nieto administrations all combined. So she is really making a major leap toward education. Remember, this is a president who has a PhD in sustainable energy engineering. She gives a daily news conference. I kind of like to watch it because you kind of get a strong lesson on what's happening in Mexican society. She gives you history updates. She talks about the economy. This morning, we saw the Modelo Budweiser, the Modelo beer company on, talking about major investments that it's pouring into Mexico ahead of the World Cup. They're going to be doing a lot of things like soccer stadiums for kids, creating more soccer leagues for teenagers all around the country. The top winners of those boys and girls leagues will be going to World Cup matches as long as they're 18 years or older, according to the president. And so, yeah, Sheinbaum stepping out pretty strong this week with strong improvements with the education system and a declaration, a presidential decree that there will be universal health care in Mexico, guys.
Well, that's fantastic. You're going to need it for all those soccer games. That's for
sure. I'm going to need some extra oxygen.
Well, I need it just doing the show. Frank, thank you so much for joining us for the Pocho Hour of Power. Sorry about all the tech problems, but, you know, we're a developing country over here, so.
Yeah, things freeze up in the first world.
That's right. If you freeze up too much, go see Dr. Simi. He's got something to unfreeze your thing.
Your antifreeze, yeah. All right, guys, take care. Good to be with you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. That's Frank Contreras from Mexico City here on the Pocho Hour Power. Guys, take it away.
Yes. I love to take it away. And
let's talk to Josefina Lopez.
That's who we got coming. I knew it was
on
somebody.
The line right now.
Josefina Lopez. What's up, girl? How you doing?
Hi. I always love coming on the Pocho Hour of Power. You guys are the best.
What do you got going on over your way, girl? I know you got some exciting things happening.
Yes, we're presenting Real Women Have Curves again in English and in Spanish. It opened on April 27th and it runs through May 3rd at Casa 0101 Theater in Boyle Heights. And it's been sold out. We've been selling out shows. And it's just been so exciting to bring this play back because it's so relevant today as it was when I wrote it back in 1990. And it's about deals with immigration, but it deals with sisterhood and the power of Latino immigrants to transform their lives and to create community and take their power.
Yeah, because we had some of your actors on, and let me tell you, they were excited about doing it, and they gave the backstories and how they got involved. And it sounded like a really interesting process to be part of the show.
Yeah, you know, it's when you put five women and you really show how real women are and the power of women working together, it really is an incredible theatrical experience. And there's an incredible scene that it makes history, because there's an undressing scene, not just like physically undressing, but emotionally undressing. And it's a really powerful play. And I'm surprised and I'm amazed that it's been produced over 130 times in this country. And then it became a Broadway musical, got nominated for 2 Tonys. And I just found out that it's coming to Los Angeles next year, next spring. So right. I'm happy that people are going to get to see the play. Yeah. The musical is finally coming to LA. It only ran for 3 months, but it's coming to LA, and then I'm hoping that it gets back to Broadway. You know, it was challenging to open on Broadway when there was a migra around in New York City,
right?
Everywhere,
right?
I think people were afraid to go, and I think it was the kind of play that really challenged, you know, it challenged the narrative of Latino immigrants, how they're portrayed. But it was also a very difficult time to present a show like ours, but it was the right time and the wrong time. So I think once it comes to LA, I think it's going to be a very different experience.
Well, what was your vision when you wrote it, you know, back in the day?
Well, I was undocumented for 13 years. So when I got amnesty, I finally got my temporary residency card. And I told myself that I was going to celebrate my humanity. I was going to write about what it's really like to be an immigrant. And I felt it was important to document that moment in history when so many thousands of Latino immigrants were going to become legal residents, who would have the power one day to elect a Latino mayor and hopefully one day elect a Latina governor of California. And maybe we could change things in California. So I felt that that was a crucial time in history that I needed to document it. And for me, as a person, I felt like I needed to document my life, to celebrate my humanity, and to never let anyone dehumanize me the way I felt dehumanized as an undocumented person.
Yeah.
So my vision was to present a realistic portrayal of Latinos, because I was tired of seeing the stereotypes, and I felt my parents were such hardworking people, and it was so unfair to constantly portray Mexicans as lazy when my parents were such hardworking people, and as thugs and criminals when my parents were such dignified, extraordinary people who were doing the best they could. And then all my brothers and sisters, you know, we all graduated from high school. We all have the American dream. And I just felt like we never really see who we are. And I was so hungry to see that. So I had to write my reality.
Yeah, the craziness is still relevant today, isn't it?
It is, because they've been trying to kick out Mexicans since the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And every decade they come at us, and there's new laws all the time. They just keep trying to get rid of us, because they know this is our ancestral homeland. This is, we belong here. And it's like, how can they send us home when we're already home, you know? And so, yeah, it's sad that it's relevant. And people say, oh, my God, you're so psychic. Like, how did you know? I said, no, every decade they try to kick us out. You know, and every decade we declare that it's the decade of the Latino. And then I guess we're such a threat that they come at us. And so we just have to keep loving our lives, celebrating our lives, and reminding ourselves that they're afraid of us. And so,
you know,
I
used to make that joke, Josefina, I used to make that joke about every decade is, I mean, we all made that joke, right? The every decade is a decade of the Latino. But I think they stopped saying that finally. I think that... No,
we're
let's just make it the decade of kicking out the Latinos.
Yeah, right?
But,
Josefina,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say something about women. I think right now, especially at the time when we heard all the terrible news coming out about the Dolores Huerta's revelation. I think right now we need to remind ourselves that it's about the movimiento, that it's about our community, that it's not about one single person, but it's about us reminding ourselves that we are powerful people, that united we stand, and all sorts of things can divide us, but it's really about the community. And I just want to remind women that we have to be bolder, and we have to speak up, and some of us can and some of us can't, but we have to keep speaking up. And to me, I'm inspired by what happened, even though it was hard. It was a hard hit, because I feel like there are other predators in our community. And hopefully this will inspire other women who know who those predators are to come speak up. And, you know, I know a lot of different things because everyone tells me chisme. You know, that's why I'm so good at collecting chisme. That's because I'm a great writer. but it's really up to women to decide when they're ready to tell their stories. And I think there's so many more stories that are going to come out. And I think as women, we have to remember that we're not alone and that people care and that we have to speak up.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and if we are going to make it about one person, let's make it about Dolores. You know, like she's 96.
Yeah.
She's been an icon. And I don't like the, you know, some of the discussion around this. I think we need to give her grace and realize what year this all happened to her. You know, it was 60 years ago.
I think what's so weird is that you realize that people hate her for being an activist. People hate her for being a mother. And I mean, she's criticized for everything. Like a woman, no matter what she does, she's going to be scrutinized. And it's so unfair because you go, well, you know, like I'm an activist, right? And people say, oh, well then, you know, if you're an activist, you can't be a mother. If you're a mother, you can't be. And I go, no, sometimes you are motivated to be an activist because you are a mother. Because you realize I don't want to raise children in a world where we can't fight for rights, where we can't speak up, where we have to take, you know, the crumbs. It's like sometimes the mothers are the best activists because we don't want to see our children suffer. And if that motivates a woman to do it, and, you know, and then when people say, well, where was she? I go, well, where was the husband? Where are the men? You know, if a woman's a better leader, then men need to step up and say, you know what? I'll take care of the kids. I'll do this. Well, you go do that because you're better at this.
Yeah, definitely. And I 1,000%, Josefina, I can't agree with you more. And I know that our listeners are compassionate. And we know, you know, there's so many issues around this. And I also want to say, always super proud to have you on the show, Josefina. You've done so much.
Thank you.
With your career, with your life, and you give so much back. It's just always an honor to know you're our friend.
Thank you so much. You know, and the reason I give back is because, you know, like there were so many opportunities that people gave to me and that I feel I have to pass it on. And the other thing is, you know, just because you didn't get the opportunities, just because, you know, it's easy to get bitter about what wasn't there for you. So it's easier for me to say, you know what? I'm going to create those opportunities for people because I wish someone would have done this for me, so I'm going to do that for someone else. And when you do that, you heal your heart, you expand your heart. And that's where power comes from, in realizing that everybody is you. You want everybody to win. And then I live my life like that, you know? And no matter, like, whether I win a Tony or an Oscar, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm a winner because I want everybody to win.
Yeah, that's right. And you're talking about me, right? Like, I'm super bitter, so, yeah. I agree.
No,
bitter? Part of you
bitter? You're bittersweet.
No, it's so easy. But no. I think we have to take this bitterness and turn it into sweetness when we realize that there's so many lessons that we can get from this. And if we pass on this wisdom and these lessons, we don't get bitter. We get better.
And that's what we have to do on the Pocho Hour of Power.
That's
Josefina,
right.
It's always a pleasure to have you on with us.
Gracias. Thank you so much. Come see Real Women Have Curves. Runs till May 3rd. It's going to sell out, so get your tickets now.
Yeah, all right. But thank you so much, Josefina Lopez, for being on. And see Real Women Have Curves and support our local heroes like Josefina Lopez. And now let's go to another brilliant woman. Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, great renown. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power, Meredith.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Great to see you again.
We're having Mercury in Pocho grade on the technology side, but we're getting through the show. So if any of us drop out, just get back on. Get back on the horse.
Alrighty, and I will. Hopefully, there's not an echo on your end.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's good. No, I don't hear it, but I don't think the audience hears it either. So, I will mute when you're not talking. So, Meredith, what's going on in immigration this week?
Well, as always, there's a lot going on. we had a victory in a case called Perez Funes. And basically, here I am speaking Spanish. The Trump administration was trying to strip children of their rights, children in detention or children in centers where supposedly they're supposed to have even more rights than adults, right? Because they're alone, frightened, and without counsel. And this is a case that the Trump administration tried to strip away 40 years that we have of safeguards for minors that have been detained. And obviously, yeah, they took them away. And you know what they replaced the advisors with? They said, well, if you don't sign this paper for your deportation, you're going to be detained for a long time. Your parents are going to get into trouble. And basically, you need to get out of here as soon as possible. That was their replacement for the other advisal, which basically said you have the right to speak to a parent. You can talk to an attorney. You're not pressured to sign anything. And in fact, children, if they have one or two parents absent in their lives or abusive or neglectful, they can get something called special immigrant juvenile status. So a lot of these kids can get the green card eventually, but the Trump administration was just trying to get rid of them. So it's a great victory, but as the attorney said, you know, it should have been necessary in the first place. So we need to celebrate our victories. That was within the past few days that a federal judge rejected the Trump administration's bid to strip kids of their rights. And then another case I wanted to real briefly mention for those who are listening or those that have friends and family that are on the banned list of 75 countries. Guatemala is one of them, and pretty much all of the countries in the African continent are there. There's a great lawsuit that's been brought forth by Clinic and other activist organizations that are just wonderful documenting what's going on. Because basically these 75 countries are being barred from allowing their nationals to immigrate through consular processing. So it's a trap. When a person leaves and goes to their consular interview because they have a job offer, they have everything ready to go, their spouse is petitioning them, everything's in order, they get this another kind of trap or a surprise from the Trump administration, and they say, whoops, now you're on the list of 75 countries, you can't come back. So that's being shot down eventually, and your servidora, I'm trying to also get involved with this and take on some of my individual cases and bring them into federal court because it's just not working. The system is really broken. We're not getting complete files. For example, when I need to do my work, I ask for the client files from the government. It's called the Freedom of Information Act. And that is being basically shot down as well by this administration. So as Josefina was saying, it's, you know, cuesta arriba. We have to challenge them. We cannot take this as normal, and we have to drag them into federal court if they're not going to listen, you know, through the normal channels, like through the U.S. Immigration and Service Agency, which is more like ICE these days. So they're keeping us busy, and it's a marathon, right? But we have to celebrate those victories, like the case I mentioned that preserves the rights of children in detention, you would think, right? You know, but this is another victory.
Wow. Well, you know, I saw in the paper that they are trying to this is a big headline, redeport Kilmar again, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, and now to Africa. And this is a dumb question, but is that legal?
Is it legal? That's the question standing, Meredith. Meredith.
Is anybody legal? And,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think this microphone is legal. I don't think this studio is legal. I don't think
I don't think this show is legal.
This show is not
just
legal.
Go with it.
Of course it is. No, of course it is. But what they're doing, no, it's not legal. You can't just deport a person to a third country where there's a fear of persecution, where there is, you know, people are being tortured just for being different, you know. And so basically, I know that their legal counsel, I believe in this case, has been saying, look, you know, if he needs to go to Costa Rica, let's work with Costa Rica or some other, you know, similar place where he'll be relatively safe.
Right.
But the U.S. government, honest to God, they just want to make an example out of this case. And so he has really good, he has a whole team of litigators, and I have full confidence that this case will be resolved in his favor. Of course, there's going to be another appeal, But, you know, this administration cannot leave soon enough, in my opinion. And hopefully in November, as we keep saying, it looks like there's going to be some accountability at a congressional level. So at least we'll have that. And I think that also funding wise, the gravy train will come to a screeching halt if the Dems are in power in Congress. So that's the hope right now. And hopefully as well, accountability for USCIS and also the government attorneys on the ICE side. I know a lot of them personally, they're trying to do their best, but they're under tremendous pressure to shortchange the law and cut corners. And, you know, they can get into trouble for doing that. So we shall see in Kilmer's case. I have full confidence in his legal team, and I think there's going to be appealed up even to the Supreme Court.
Well, that's great, because imagine all the people that they are railroading and sending off that we don't even know about or have already done so. But Meredith, we got to send ourselves off. We appreciate you coming on Pocho Hour Power and informing us about what's happening in the world of immigration.
Spread the word. People really need to get their legal house in order, and hopefully they can get that assistance. I'm at infolegal.net if anyone has further questions.
All right. Thank you, Meredith Brown. And now, before we join our next really quick guest, Elvia Cadena, I want to give away a pair of tickets to see Real Women Have Curves. Come on, guys. Call in. 818-955-7735. 818-955-KPFK. Call in now. That's a reward for sticking with us all the way to the bitter end here. And now...
bittersweet end.
Hello, hello.
Hey now, how you doing?
How are you guys?
We're doing marvelous.
Happy Friday, happy Friday.
Yes, and what do you got going on there?
Tell us all about it.
Yes.
Yes, we have the Pachuco Ball Suit Student Concert tomorrow, April 11th, in the City of Industry. At VFW Post 1944. We have myself. I'm going to be closing the night, so I'm headlining tomorrow. And we have plenty more artists. Everybody's going to be suited and booted. So it's going to be a good time. It comes with a dinner. Yeah, tomorrow, April 11th.
That's great. Now, what's going to be the price to get in?
The price to get in, the tickets are $40. But they do have a special going on where you could get a table, like a family pack of four with your own table. And that will be $100 for all four. Yes. Okay. So that's a little discount right there. You should hop on it.
I love drinking at the VFW. What can I say?
That's VFW, old school.
Right? It's always a good time at the VFW.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. You guys can... I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys could purchase tickets from Gloria, and her phone number is 909-236-3453.
All right. Well, Elvia Cadena, thank you so much for joining us and promoting this Pachuco Zoot Suit Ball tomorrow in City of Industry.
Yes.
And you're going to be headlined, so we really appreciate that, and we love having you on the Pocho Hour Power. Please come back.
Thank you.
Give you more than 90 seconds.
And make sure you guys get your tickets for Real Women Have Curve.
Yeah, that's right. Look at that.
Promotions
here at Pocho Hour Power. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I want to thank you for being on. I want to thank Meredith Brown. I want to thank Frank Contreras, Patricia Guadalupe. I want to thank Jeffrey Keller.
Thank you, brother.
Esteban Zul.
Simone, get down, Esse.
I want to thank Oz for doing our sound. I want to thank Gary Baca, the producer of 5G, producing the show. And I want to thank Jaime Casillas for the theme song. And
thank the Gremlins for making this show difficult.
Mercury and Pocho Gray here. If I left anybody out, I'm sorry. But I hope you got those tickets for Real Women Have Curves.